Name and discipline again.
My name's Daniel Whiffen, and I'll be competing in the 400 and 1500 freestyle in Birmingham.
Good. Let's go. So, Daniel, we're here today, obviously Commonwealth Games just over a week away. How are you feeling?
Excited. I mean, we're going to the village on Monday, and then I'm just really looking forward to racing and putting on a good show.
It's obviously been a crazy kind of, 18 months, 2 years for you. The Irish records coming out your ears, the quickest man in Budapest not long ago. How's that been?
Yeah, I'm just riding the wave at the moment of how hard I've been training, and it's all coming together, I guess. And then this is the last competition of the season, so we'll make it the fastest.
And obviously Birmingham is not necessarily a home games for you, but it's obviously more local than Tokyo, than Budapest. How do you feel about that?
Obviously I'm going to have a lot of, I hope, home crowd support. I know there's going to be a lot of Northern Irish people there to support me, especially my family. So, I mean, it's going to be nice as well as the crowd being there. You know, I think there's going to be like nearly 4,000 people, so it's going to be a good atmosphere to race in.
You mentioned off camera that your family are coming in their droves and bringing masks and stuff as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, they're all obviously here to support me, and they're going to put masks on off my face when I'm swimming. Just to like cheer me on, and then they got a banner as well. So it's definitely going to make me go faster anyway, seeing them in the crowd.
So it's been a crazy couple of years for you, progression. What's the secret to that?
I suppose it's just training hard, and obviously the training group that we have here is really helping a lot. I mean, we've got world champions, and it's just training hard, I guess.
And we talked as well off camera, kind of the Loughborough's eco bubble and how everyone drives on to each other. What part has Loughborough played in not just your journey as an athlete, but Daniel Whiffen as a person as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not just a swimmer all day. I do uni courses as well, the computing, and Loughborough's just great helping like mix them together. I mean, I have my friends outside of sport as well, so I can mix around in different areas, and I'm not always thinking about swimming all the time.
I've also seen you're a bit handy at social media. You've got your own blogs and that kind of thing. Is that just part and parcel of being a modern day athlete?
Yeah, I think to get more out there, I guess, in terms of like getting your name and stuff for people to watch. Also, I like to put out weekly vlogs, because it's like more fun for other people to watch, especially like younger children in Ireland. I know they watch everything I do, and you know, it helps them to inspire as well to get to the level that I'm competing at the moment.
And just talking about inspiration, obviously you've broken all these records, you're the fastest Irish man. Again, we said off camera, you've got records coming out your ears now. How does that feel when you kind of touch the wall at the end of the race and you look up and you know you're the fastest person in your country to do what you do?
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, I started out swimming when I was like 12, and I just was doing it for fun. I'm still doing it for fun this day, and it's obviously got a lot more serious at the moment, but I'm still progressing, and I just love swimming for Ireland, and fastest man, as you said, in the 1500, and first person sub 15. It's kind of cool, I guess, to be the first person.
And what does it mean to you to swim under Ireland's banner?
I've always dreamed of doing it. I mean, I lived there for 18 years, and I just love being there. And obviously I've moved away to go to uni, so it's the best decision for me to progress, and obviously worked out, and everybody support me back home as well, so it's kind of good.
And just tell us a little bit about your preparation on a race day. So does that differ from heats to finals, or is everything the same? Do you have to keep things consistent?
From heats, the only difference would be I wouldn't take any like caffeine for heats, where for the finals we've got to take a bit of caffeine to get us going. I think more or less the same. Do you want me to take you through what I do?
Yeah,
okay. So we'll start off, get to the pool around 2 hours before, chill for about 20 minutes at the pool, taking it all in before we get into like a heat or finals. And then I'll start doing my dry land warm-up, some Theraband work, and then I'll get and do my warm-up. And then about, if it's a final, we'll say an hour before my race, I'll take some caffeine. And then I'll continue with my warm-up. And then straight after the warm-up, get out, clothes have to go on within a minute, keep the warmth in. I always see my coach will be like shouting at me if I don't have any clothes on walking out of the warm-down pool. and then do some med ball slams and some jumps, and then I'll head to the core room, and that's really what I do.
Do you manage to switch off in that time, or is it very much kind of race?
It's all race. We have to stick to the timeline, so you don't really get a break, if you know what I mean, in between, because everything has to be on time.
And do you get the nerves as well?
Yeah, I think it depends on the competition, depends on how nervous I am. I mean, obviously in Birmingham, first Commonwealth Games, it's going to be the first race especially, it's going to be nervous, but I like nerves, you know, like they definitely make you go faster, so I'll be embracing them.
Do they disappear as soon as you're kind of off the starting blocks, or is it still within you as you're racing?
I'd say down the first 100 metres, I'll probably still be nervous, but they'll go away at the end when I get onto the race.
And in kind of, you do obviously the long course as well. It's a long distance by its very nature. Do you manage to look at your competitors, or is it very much focusing on your lane and what you can do?
It depends on the type of swim I'm going to do, because obviously trying to qualify a final, you need to be top eight. So you will be looking around naturally just to see your position in the race. But I do like to think about myself and not really look around too much. But when we're in the final, it's all about getting your hand on the wall first, so then it is more of just a look around to try get out, take people out and stuff like that.
And I guess that will change your tactics if you can see somebody in the next lane kind of pulling away a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So.
Excellent. And let's just nip back to Tokyo as well. It was billed as a Games as like no other. It was, COVID was in and out, and it went ahead, but it was perhaps not what it could have been in a normal world, if you like. How was it for you as an athlete?
I mean, it was first Olympic Games for me, hopefully of many. But yeah, I loved it. I can't really say anything bad about what happened there, because I went away and did what I had to do, PB and everything, and won my heats and stuff like that. And I also enjoyed just watching it live as well, because obviously nobody could watch it apart from the athletes there, and I got to see loads of fast racing, which was pretty cool.
Does it differ for you as an athlete if you're competing overseas in different time zones as well?
I suppose in Japan we had to have a 2-week holding camp before the Olympics because of the time difference. I don't know what it is, it's maybe 7-6 hours ahead, so obviously you need to adapt for that. And the 2 weeks, I mean, I actually adapted pretty within 2 days. It didn't really take me too long, but I guess my body would take a bit longer than my head, but yeah.
And finally, let's just look back ahead to Birmingham. What are your hopes and dreams for the Games?
I'd like to be the first Irish male to medal in the Commonwealths. I don't think it's ever happened before, so yeah, that's my goal.
And that's a high chance of happening?
I'm ranked second at the moment, so yeah, I'd hope so.
Perfect. Brilliant. Cool.
After that, we'll just do the family question again, but with the answer, could you say, I've got all my family coming, just so we've got a way into the event, if that's all right?
Okay.
So Dan, obviously you've got your family going to Birmingham. How's that going to be, and what are their plans?
Yeah, so I've got all my family coming to Birmingham, and they're going to be sitting in the crowd cheering me on. They've got masks to wear of my face, and then they've got some banners too of me. So I'll be not trying to look at them too much in the crowd to distract me, but I'll definitely hear them in the crowd, especially my mum. She's quite a loud screamer, so we'll hear her.
So, in terms of the Olympics, how much confidence has that given you? If you could say after my first Olympic Games, and then maybe feed into that as well.
Cool. So Dan, obviously Tokyo was last year. How much confidence has that given to you as an athlete at a major champs?
So obviously the Olympics is the pinnacle of swimming. You know, you can't get much higher than that. And I've competed before any other senior international. That was my first one, and it's given me a lot of confidence going into Commonwealth Games because I've done the biggest competition. But I mean, okay, I'm still going to be nervous, but I'm just going to hopefully smash it.
Can you tell us about a tattoo?
Yeah.
And just maybe give us some context as well about, this is kind of a TikTok, so it can be very relaxing, but about what athletes do with the tattoo and the context behind it, and just what your thought with yours was.
Do you need me for anything?
It's free, can afterwards. Just grab you for 5-10 minutes, yeah. Just have a bit of a chat. That's
yeah.
All right.
How much longer is he going to be? Just so I can...
2 minutes.
Oh, okay, I'll hang around then.
Yeah, perfect. Cheers, Andy. So Dan, just we see you've got a bit of new ink on your arm. Tell us all about this.
So obviously you go to the Olympic Games, you know, one of the first things to do is get the tattoo straight after. I mean, it took me like 3 weeks until I booked in to go get my tattoo, but yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, everybody goes for different designs. I went for the not too big, not too small, and in colour, and then I got my forearm because, I don't know, I can see it when I'm swimming and it kind of reminds me every day what I've done.
How proud are you of that?
Yeah, and obviously I'm really proud of competing at the Olympics, and this shows it as well, having the, I guess, the mark to show that I've been. Yeah. So.
Forever,
yeah.
One more, maybe just your continued progression. How much do you feel like you've improved from Tokyo to the Commonwealth? Maybe talk about the environment.
Cool. So obviously you've got on an upward trajectory, you're keeping improving all the time. How much do you think you've improved from Tokyo to now? And where do you see yourself post-games after that?
So from Tokyo to now, I mean, I've made massive jumps. I've made my first world final short course and long course. I've dropped, I don't know, like over, I can't even think of the amount of time I've dropped in my events. And yeah, it's pretty good. And then obviously, Commonwealth Games, we're going to build on from that too. So I just like to keep on progressing and hopefully then onwards towards a medal at the Olympics in 2024.
Cool. And if you just start, just giving you your full name and your job title here, it looks like.
Andy Manley, Director of Swimming. Nearly said Director of Sport.
What's next?
Yeah, it's John Steele, yeah. Yeah.
So, Andy, we're on the eve of another major chance in the Games. A lot of local swimmers going. How proud are you as Director of Swimming to see more athletes representing their nations?
Yeah, it's an amazing opportunity for some of the smaller nations as well to be going out and not only representing their country, but representing Loughborough University. So the last few years has been really successful with Olympics and Worlds, but Commonwealth Games is kind of quite special in a different way. So the amount of home nation representation, and for a lot of athletes on the swim team, probably their first time in a major championship. So we're super excited and really proud to have such a big representation at the Games.
And what's the secret to that as kind of the director of the programme? What do you guys keep on doing to help these athletes, this conveyor belt of talent?
I wouldn't say there's any like secret or anything like that. It's, I think we've got this kind of like success breeds success kind of philosophy through the team. So people come in, whether it's their first year on an undergrad or as a postgrad, and see the level that's happening within the swim programme, and they've got something to aspire to. So a great example of that would be someone like a Dan Whiffen, who came in as an 18-year-old. He's got Felix Houbeck to look up to, train with, and it's absolutely fast-tracked his rise through swimming.
We've just been talking to Dan. He's got Irish records coming out of ears. Over the last kind of 18 months, 2 years, he's flown, like you say. Is that due to him as well just being naturally talented, or is it hard work, or is it a combination of everything?
I think it's everything. You know, he was already like a world junior level athlete. You know, he'd represented Ireland at a few competitions before. But since he's come in, yeah, I mean, he's taken like nearly 50 seconds off his 1500 time in the last 2 years. So clearly, you know, there's been some good work done with him as a younger swimmer, as an age grouper. But yeah, he's come in, he's very hungry. You know, he knows what he wants to achieve, and he works extremely hard here day in, day out to get there. But it's the combination of everything, and having that environment and that high performance culture, I guess, that just, you know, feeds through the team that's getting him the success he's getting.
And how hard or how easy is that as a coach to kind of almost let Dan go and let him go and perform? Or do you still get the nerves and the apprehension when he's on the starting block?
I think that's always going to be there. I think whatever level it is, whether, you know, whether we're at Bucks and it's a final session at Bucks, whether it was a World Championship final, whether it's somebody trying to qualify for an Olympics, as a coach, that's nervousness and apprehension is always there, but that's what makes it exciting. If I wasn't nervous about what was about to happen, it'd probably be something wrong, or I'd be a robot. So that won't go away, all right? But I think we get to the point where we turn up at these championships, and I think the preparation through the coaching, the support team we've got here, we go almost expecting something good to happen because of, you know, because we see what's happening here day in, day out.
We saw that in Budapest with Dan as well, another record. You must be super proud when kind of he hits the wall and he looks up to the board and he's done it. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, it is, and it's all the hours and hours we're spending here, the early mornings, the weekends, the bank holidays, everything we sort of commit as athletes and coaches to get these results. When you go to those championships and see those results happen, that's the special moment. That's what makes it all worthwhile. And so for someone like Dan, who made the Olympics last year, finished 13th and 14th, amazing achievements, but in the space of 12 months, he's now 8th and 9th in the world. So he's making strides forward. And then as we go to Commonwealth Games, different championships, you know, obviously different nations he's racing against, but these opportunities for him to make finals and hopefully start edging towards the podium are just getting closer and closer.
And obviously we're looking at the Commonwealth Games. Do you have an idea of what you hope those athletes to achieve? Do you keep that to yourself, or do you kind of just let naturally take the course and what they can do?
I think it's knowing the athlete is really important. So if I was to sit down with certain athletes and say, look, I think you can win a medal here, that would probably be the worst conversation I have with them. And I think with them, we need to keep it more process focused about how they're going to deliver their performance to give them the best chance of success. With someone like a Dan, it's very easy to sit down with him and say, right, you know, we're going there to win or to win a medal, or, you know, they're the conversations we've had. You know, so if we sat down with Dan now, he'd be very clear that he wants to go there to win a gold medal. Now, it's my job as well to still keep him process focused. And all right, okay, that's your aim. You're very happy to talk about that, but how are we going to achieve it? And that's the key thing, is as a coach to kind of be excited about what's possible, but also give them the tools and the sort of race plan that's going to help them get there.
And I guess, is that one of the biggest skills as a coach, just being that people person as well?
I think it is. That athlete-coach relationship, in my opinion, is key. So it's a human relationship, and it's knowing that, you know, you can have good days, bad days, and that goes for me too. But it's also about, you know, them trusting me trusting them, that we can go and deliver the right performance at the right time. So the more I've coached, you know, I've been coaching now for around 20 years at various levels. For me, that fundamental is that athlete-coach relationship, and it's critical to help anyone achieve what they want to achieve.
I suppose that brings it back to almost when you're recruiting for the programme, you have to be the right person and not just the right athlete?
Yeah, so that's a real good point. When we do recruit, especially at the post-grad level, we want to make sure that the people we're bringing in are going to add value to the team. So do they fit within the culture we've got here? You know, and you can pick up on that pretty quickly. When people get here, then we're looking at, right, what's the best fit for that person? So we've got an amazing coaching team here at Loughborough, like fantastic across all the different groups. And our aim, or my aim as director, is to get that right match for athletes and coach so that they bring the best out in each other. Now, we don't always get it right first time, but what that means is, you know, somebody might spend their first year or their first training cycle with me, and we might quickly see that actually Ian Hume's training philosophy or his coaching style might suit this person better. Or in some instances, sort of a hybrid, you know, the best way for this athlete to succeed is a model that works with Ian and myself, you know. So we look at various ways of doing it. You know, we've had swimmers that have swam with me and then moved to swim with Gareth or Andy Wallace, and it brings the best out in them. So their training times aren't as great. You know, their morning sessions might be 5:15 start time, but for whatever reason, that fit with that athlete and coach is able to get the best out of that relationship. So a long explanation, but in a nutshell, I guess it's just about trying to find the right fit for the athlete to help them achieve what they want to achieve.
Perfect. And just finally, I know you're not going to the Commonwealth Games in a coaching capacity, but one of the little features we're doing is how a race day looks. So as a coach, if you just talk us through what a typical race day would be, whether that would be heats or finals, and what kind of goes through your mind, what are your procedures, and how do you ensure the athletes are in the best position they can possibly be?
Yeah, so typical day. I mean, we try to make sure that the athletes aren't arriving at the venue any more than 90 minutes before race time. And that's something with some of them is real hard to do, because the more nervous or excited they get, they just want to be there earlier and earlier and end up sitting around. So that's something we've worked hard on here with our S&C coach, with our physiologist, to sort of come up with a race time. So 90 minutes is about the ideal window. And then we try to have them quite business-like. So normal flow might be arrive. They would then go through their pre-pool and sort of activation routine. Race warm-up would be, you know, sort of 20 to 30 minutes, depending on the event they're preparing for. But then we're out, race suit on. The last conversation will be athlete and coach about, you know, just the last couple of bullet points, really, 2 to 3 things. What are you going to be thinking on here? Walk them down to the cool room and off they go. So all that takes about 90 minutes. There's a few other things that fit around that. If there's any sort of nutritional supplements that are going to aid performance, you know, they might be taking some caffeine. There might be some, you know, hydrating all the way through. But that's kind of it, condensed, you know, what that 90 minutes would look like.
Perfect. And do you get some athletes there who would naturally be more nervous than others, who may kind of their normal routines maybe put out a little bit just to have a feeling?
Yeah, and that's our job then to know that, recognise that through getting to know them. And so that, you know, our conversations with them might be nothing really about the race itself, and we'll be trying to, in a way, kind of distract them, tell them a joke, just talk about other things, know what their other interests are away from swimming. You know, so we'll have a conversation about something else, so their mind isn't on that all the way through. And then it's almost a last minute, right, switch back on, it's race time now. Some of them would like to, after the heats, go through the race analysis from the heats to the final. They like to look at the data. What was my technique like there? You know, are there splits in the race I can improve on? What were my turn times? So some people like to look at the numbers between heats and finals to work on that. So again, it comes down to those fundamentals. What do I need to work on with this athlete to give them the best possible chance of success on race day?
And that's all worth it, I guess, when they kind of get those PBs, those records, those podium finishes and stuff.
Yeah, and in any sport, there's highs and lows. And within a swim meet, there's highs and lows. And it's our job is to kind of try and level that out, those emotions. So not getting too excited when things really go away, but not getting too down when it doesn't, and trying to be as constant as we can, because the athlete's looking to us as a coach to be that constant, level-headed person. So I might be feeling really down or really excited inside, but if I've got four swimmers racing in one session, I need to be the most consistent Andy Manley I can be, so they know they can rely on me to be the best coach for them.
So we've done another piece with Chris McLeod, one of our academics, and he's talking about eating pages in major champs and how it's important to keep things consistent. So maybe just touch on that, kind of how important is a consistent environment within major championships to try and keep it as light for life as you would it look for, say.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah.
And maybe what you do to sort of count those different environments.
Yeah.
So the major champs and the like, Andy, the environment is naturally going to be very different. Athletes are used to or want to find a familiarity. How do you ensure that you keep things as consistent as possible?
So one of the challenges with something like a Commonwealth Games or an Olympics is that athlete village environment where it's 24-hour buffets, so never shuts. And I think the temptation with some of the athletes especially is to kind of go crazy. Everything's available, you know, there's Coke fridges wherever you want around the village, and I think they need to be really well prepared. So they've got a plan on, right, this is what normal would look like. This is the fuel I need to be training and racing the best and to stick to that plan. Because I saw it last year in Tokyo at the Olympics where, not from the athletes we're working with, but you see other nations and they just go crazy. You know, you can have pizza 24 hours a day. You can be eating cakes. You can eat whatever you want. And so you need to have that professionalism to understand this is my plan in terms of how well do I need to be hydrated. What fuel do I need for what I'm about to do today? And so our support team here, our nutritionists, will work really hard with our athletes for them to understand this is what I need to be doing. And even at World Champs, which we were at recently, so not a village environment, but you're in hotel eating, it's very easy to sort of go off-piste and start to eat or drink differently. So they need to be very focused on saying, okay, this is exactly what I need. I'm eating for fuel and not for fun. Once they finish racing, they can go crazy for a few days and really make the most of it then.
So as a coach, do you have to keep a close eye on that, or are your athletes so disciplined they almost know what is expected of them as well?
So the way I'd look at it is our job is done when they leave here. So if they don't have the tools and the education in place when we pass them on to their teams, we've kind of failed them. So we don't want to be doing that education piece in the village or at the meet. So it's all about getting them ready through training, all right, through the weeks and months leading up to it. So when they arrive there, it's already in them. They know what they need to be doing, all right, and they can go in and deliver that. The last thing I want to be doing is checking what they got on their tray when we go to a meet. And I trust in our team here and the athletes that we've put those things in place so they know to deliver in the right way when we get there.
Thanks, Andy.
Great. Okay, same again. Down the lens and then arm folded. Okay, so if you can just point at the tattoo like you're talking about it and then go away just naturally. If you can maybe just run Dan through that bit again about your tattoo.
Just tell us a bit about this, Dan.
Yeah, so obviously I got the tattoo from the going to the Olympics, and yeah, it's just a nice thing to have.
Where'd you get it done?
Yeah. I think Felix has his on the tip too.
Really?
Yeah.
All the tattooists absolutely love it when people go to the Olympics.
Well, I got mine for free. I think you get yours for free normally.
So in a race, if you finish on your right, you're left comfortable.
That's why we have that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yep.